bit. So according to recent stats, 60 to 80% of people are likely to attend church if personally invited by a friend or a family member. Everybody take your two thumbs like this and go like this. That's me. So be praying about who you can invite and bring them with you that day. It's going to be a great celebration. Relationships is our year-long theme, and God is passionate about his relationship with you and with me. And that passion doesn't just come on Sunday mornings when you're gathered in a church building. It's through every area of our lives. 2 weeks ago, we began the series Relationship with the Church. If we're followers of Christ, then we have a relationship with God's church. We're a part of that family. Part one, we looked at growing pains. God doesn't want us just to go through the pain as a church. God wants us to grow through the pain. Growing pains in a church means something is growing. God is wanting to stretch his church, to stretch you and me. God wants us to change, to go through it and become more like Jesus. And as a church, we are experiencing growing pains and change as God is doing something new and bringing people and families and kids into Peace Chapel looking for God and looking for faith and looking for connecting and community. As you and I change, the church changes. So we're on this path of growing pains. Part two was growing up. There's a big difference between being childish and childlike. Being childish shouts, "I want, I need, I want my way." Being childlike is the simple act of trusting God no matter what you go through. How do we know if we're growing spiritually? Well, we talked about this last week. We're grounded in His Word. Being grounded in His Word means we know what Scripture says. Alone that we pray and we study and we apply God's Word as we grow spiritually. It's allowing God to shape our life and to mold our life and our hearts. We're also discipled in His Word. It's time in God's Word and prayer with others in a small group or in a class to help us see what we need to grow in. The goal is maturity in the Lord. It's growing up. First week was about change. The second week was about maturity. And then it's about we're not giving up growing up. We're not going to give up growing up. When our faith is tested and we endure, we are growing up. We face hardships and trials, but we face them with Jesus. So my question this morning, what areas did God spotlight in us to grow this past week? More patience. A tender heart, showing some compassion or loving some. What's God speaking to you about? I was about 13 or 14 years old in youth group when my youth pastor, Pastor Alex, started a discipleship class. Now, Pastor Alex had a big influence on me and my calling into ministry. Well, I was intrigued, so I signed up for the class along with some others, and I remember we met in the church conference room, the boardroom. Ooh, scary, you know. Each week, we purchased the book, Loving God by Charles Colson. This is the book. You can see that it's pretty worn, and over the years, I was a kid. There's always a cost when it comes to discipleship. This was not an easy read for a 13 or 14-year-old kid, but I was determined to put my time and my energy into growing in the Lord. Besides reading the chapters of the books, and we would come and gather and talk, there was homework, there was assignments and discussion on how it applied, you know, to our lives. On Sunday mornings, we had to even sit on the front pews in the sanctuary and take notes of the pastor's messages. So I'm going to ask all the youth. No, I'm kidding. It's awesome. Yeah, yeah. Well, we've all been influenced by someone or something in our lives. There's driving under the influence. of alcohol or drugs. It's you, but the alcohol or drugs is impacting and impairing your judgment, your mind, your body. People with power and influence often get what they want, right? We see that all the time. They say influence, not authority, influence is the key to successful leadership. A parent, a teacher, a mentor, a leader, they can have eternal influences in our lives. We can have, you know, we can influence others through our words or actions. So there's many examples of influence today. There's family influences, right? Parenting parents instilling values and family traditions, and there's that sibling dynamic, and there's the family of origin, right? There's influences there. There's the social influences, peer pressure, the choices that our friends make, social media trends. There's educational influences, books and curriculum and teachers and mentors and coaches and authority figures. There's even personal influences, past experiences and significant life events, personal beliefs, goals. There's also cultural influences, traditions and customs and societal expectations. There's media influences, news, movies, advertising, technologies, apps, social media influencers. There's even a Christian magazine that I subscribe to called Influence, right? It's common. It's everywhere. The definition of influence is the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. The capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. If we stop and think about it, we are being influenced by so many people and things, sometimes even unknowingly. There are people that come to mind right now as you're sitting there who have been a positive or negative influence on us from our past and even today. Flip that coin over, and you and I have had positive and negative influences on those in our lives over the years. So here are the questions this morning. In what ways have we been influenced? Who was it that influenced us? And how did it change our lives, for the good or bad? Influence. So in this series on a relationship with the church, my sermon title is Growing Seeds. Go with me on a journey. The city of Corinth was a commercial and cultural center. Around 50 AD, at the end of his second missionary journey, Paul traveled to Corinth, and he lived there for about 18 months. So he put some roots in. And while he was there, Paul established a church for both Jews and Greeks, Gentiles. Paul then moved on to Ephesus and stayed there for about 2 years. And while he was in Ephesus, he heard bad reports about the behavior of the believers in the church of Corinth that he had started. So around 54 AD, Paul penned his first letter to the Corinthians. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, had influence. Turn to your Bibles if you want to. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. All right, here we go. Starting with verse 1. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? So there was division in the church. And you can tell right there in Paul's tone that he's not happy with them. What's taking place among the church, among the believers. He couldn't talk to them as mature Christians, but as spiritual infants. And he didn't want to do that. Even though they were followers, they were still worldly. still influenced by the corrupt nature, by spiritual immaturity. They loved the things of the world more than they loved God. They were controlled by their sinful thoughts and desires. The reason we know this is because they were jealous and were quarreling among themselves. They were still acting childish. See, when a person comes to Christ and they believe in Christ, they receive a new spiritual life through the Holy Spirit. And these new converts in the Lord are naturally spiritually immature, needing milk to drink, and they're not ready for solid food, like an infant. You don't feed an infant a piece of steak, right? You're a bad parent. So here's some examples of some comforting milk teachings. God loves and forgives us. Christ died for our sins, and Christ gives us rest. Those are amazing topics, right? But these are perfect for infants to grow up in the Lord, to understand the basics. However, Paul was speaking to those believers even after 3 or 4 years later who still weren't ready for solid food. So here's some examples of some solid food teaching, right? You got the Beatitudes found in Matthew, doctrinal teachings of Paul. There's warnings and exhortation passages that dive really deep. But no, they were still spiritual infants. They still hadn't grown up. As you and I examine our hearts this morning, are we immature or maturing in the Lord? Are we growing or still infants in God? You see, we're still believers in the Lord even though we mess up and we sin. We can judge other Christ followers in their behavior as being worldly, as being immature, but only God truly knows what's in their heart. Love them anyway. Show them the light. Show them the way. Well, Paul pivots here, so let's continue verses 4 of chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. See, the believers in the Corinthian church were either following Paul here, or they were following Apollos. And they were quarreling about it. Who is Apollos? Who is Paul, he asks. See, the truth of the matter is, Paul went on to explain, he and Apollos were only servants of the Lord. Paul came along and he planted the seeds. And then Apollos came along and he watered it. But they are only the gardeners, right? In other words, as followers of Jesus, we are God's instruments. Along with Paul, along with Apollos, we are God's gardeners who plant and water the seeds. But God is the one who does the real work of making the plant grow. It's God alone who produces the fruit in our lives. God brings people to faith in Christ. See, Paul was stating that it's not about himself and it's not about Apollos. So you know what? Don't just pick sides here. Follow God. There is no need for this silly quarrel. Follow God, period. And as Paul and Apollos have the same goal, they each have different jobs to do for the Lord. They will receive their rewards. It's the same for you and I. We will receive a reward from the Lord for the work that we do for Him. We live in an app world. Right? Everything, it seems, is on an app. There's an app for that. I have an app for Dunkin', for Starbucks, for Chick-fil-A, among others, right? I think I have over 100 apps on my phone. It's crazy. And as I purchase coffee or lunch, you know, I get points. I get points. Get enough points, I get rewards. How many like rewards? You guys are all liars who didn't raise your hand. Everybody likes rewards. You see, in eternity, we will receive rewards for our work for God. We're not working to heaven, right? Christ paid the price for us. But as we are on this earth and we live and serve the Lord, He rewards us. Paul, he closes this section of Scripture declaring that he and Apollos are co-workers, fellow workers, right? God's field hands. The Corinthian believers were God's field. Each of them is a seedling planted in that field. So turn to your neighbor and say, you are a seedling in God's field. There's a low rumble. A seedling is, do I need to explain what a seedling is? Okay, it's a little tiny plant. Okay. So, in your relationship with the church, there will be growing pains, which means change. There will be growing up to do, which means maturity. Today, I want to share from God's Word about growing seeds, which means influence. Influence. Whether you realize it or not, you have some capacity of influence. You also have the capacity to be influenced. It can overtake you. A man was on his way home with a brand new sports car, which was absorbing all of his attention, when it struck him that he had forgotten something. And stopping twice, he searched his pockets, and he had his wallet, and he looked for his cell phone. He had that, but finally decided he had everything with him. Yet that feeling persisted. When he reached home, his daughter ran out of the house and cried, "Daddy, where's Mommy?" Sometimes we can be so overwhelmed, right? You can have influence with your spouse, your kids, your family, your friends, your coworkers, your classmates, your teammates, just about everyone. So being influenced and influencing others matters. It matters. In Scripture, influence can be used for evil. In 1 Kings, Jezebel had an influence over Ahab, her husband, to do evil. In Proverbs, everyone under the influence of wine is unwise. Romans 6, the question, how can we still live under sin's influence? In 1 Corinthians 12, before you were believers, you let yourself be influenced by false idols. Paul in Galatians even called out Peter and Barnabas for being hypocrites, for being influenced by the Jewish believers. In the book of James, the tongue can start a fire that influences all of life. In 3 John, bad examples can influence you. Don't be like them. But influence can also be used for good. In Psalms, those who are generous to others will have influence. In Proverbs, the influence of good people make a city great. In Ecclesiastes, sadness has a refining influence on us. God told the prophet Jeremiah that he must influence the people and not let the people influence him. In Luke 20, others recognized that Jesus, he wasn't influenced by what others thought. He taught the way of God truthfully. In Galatians 5, it asks this, "Who stopped you from being influenced by the truth?" Paul declares in Ephesians 4, we will no longer be influenced by people trying to lead us astray. In Hebrews 7, Jesus is pure and not influenced by sinners. God accepts what it says, and this is what God accepts when it says in James chapter 1, caring for orphans or widows and keeping free from the world's evil influences. Growing seeds, right? Influence matters in the life of a Christ follower. You can't just let anything and everything come into your head, into your life, because it can influence you either negatively or positively. What do we do? Good question. I love when you guys raise that question. What do we do? First thing is this. I receive the seeds of influence from Jesus. I receive the seeds of influence from Jesus. You see, Jesus pours out his love into your life. He gives you a gift. You must open your hands, your heart, to receive that gift. Your relationship with the church all starts with a relationship with Jesus, where his life and his words influence you to repent. And the word repent means to change the way you think. It's where he begins to change you from the inside out. That begins with drawing a circle and stepping into that circle and praying, God, start with me. Then in that confidence, then in that boldness, you can declare, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, whoever is a believer in Christ is a new creation. The old way of living has disappeared. A new way of living has come into existence. A new person, a new creation, made new, brand new person inside. Well, I don't feel like it. It doesn't matter what you feel. It's the Word of God. It's the truth. Jesus saves. He restores. He makes new. Hear me this morning. You must receive something before you can give something. You must receive something before you give something. You cannot give what you don't have. You must receive the love and forgiveness of Jesus before you can share that love and forgiveness with others. Jesus must influence you before you can influence others. His growing seeds of love and grace and mercy and so much more must begin in you first. Have you made that decision for yourself, not your parents? For you to follow Jesus. So once you receive the seeds of influence from Jesus inside, secondly, I share the seeds of influence with others. Now that you have the seeds from Jesus, he wants you to share them with others. Don't keep them to yourself. Share them with those around you. Your relationship with the church is about influencing your culture, your part of the world for Christ. And it starts with the home. It's a Christ-like influence on your spouse and your kids and your family, your siblings. Christian author Bruce Wilkinson says this, your home is the single most powerful arena to change a life for God. Your home, no matter how dysfunctional it is, no matter how much it's messed up like everybody else's, right? Your home is the single most powerful arena to change a life for God. Parents, you have a tremendous amount of influence on your kids to love and follow Jesus. Last week we heard the kids screaming and playing. You're bringing your kids and your grandkids. You want to influence them, not just at church, but at home. Men, husband, fathers, if you were to serve the Lord and be all in, you have enormous influence on your family. You have enormous influence. I believe that to be true, and it starts at home. Then you use your influence for Jesus to reach others, extended family and friends and neighbors and coworkers and people you go to school with and work with, right? Your goal, your aim as followers of Jesus himself is to tell others by your words and by your actions, by how you live, that God loves them. Those growing seeds is influencing others for Jesus. Hopefully God has done something in you and you begin to share that with others, influence them. Be an example of others to follow. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Imitate me, pattern yourself after me, copy my example. Now suddenly someone is following you as you follow Christ. That is a daunting task. That is a sobering thought that if you're influencing somebody, they're following you. Are you leading them to Christ? Now following Jesus gets real. You see, the way you live your life should tell others who you serve. The way you live your life should tell others who you serve. If Jesus has changed your life, and he's not done, then there should be such a change that others will notice it. It goes back to growing up in the Lord, not doing and saying and thinking like you used to, but you are a new creation. growing. Once I share the seeds of influence with others, the last point this morning is I care for those seeds of influence in others. I care about them. You are now helping them grow in the Lord. You take great care to help and attend to this new seedling, this others. You are like Paul, where you plant the seed. Or maybe you're like Apollos, where you come along and you water the seed. But it's God who gives the increase and makes them grow. It's God. You see, can I just tell you? The pressure is off of you to save people. It's off of you. You don't have to save people. Your job and my job is to plant and water the seeds. Your relationship with the church should influence and genuinely care for others as they grow in the Lord. It's knowing that influence, it's knowing that, right? Influence and control are not the same thing. Let me say that again. Influence and control are not the same thing, right? A son was graduating from high school and he had to give a speech. So he began by reading from a prepared text. I want to talk about my mother and the wonderful influence she has had on my life. She is a shining example of parenthood, and I love her more than words could ever do justice. At this point, this young man seemed to struggle for words, and after a pause, he looked up with a sly grin and said, "Sorry, but it's really hard to read my mother's handwriting." See, that's not the kind of care that we're talking about today. It's about influencing them to grow in the Lord, not controlling them and telling them what to say and do. Jesus told his disciples when they were having an argument in Luke chapter 9, verse 48, "Anyone who takes care of a little child like this is caring for me, and whoever cares for me is caring for God and who sent me." Your care for others is the measure of your greatness. How do you do that? How do you do that? You disciple them. You spend time with them in the Word and prayer. You're teaching them to follow Jesus like you follow Jesus. It's influencing them like Jesus has influenced you, because you are caring for the seeds of influence in others. Relationship with the church. See, to be a part of God's church, do you have this relationship with Jesus? That's where it begins. And once we make that decision, God places us into a relationship with other believers. It's an amazing family. Look around, right? Not just Peace Chapel, but worldwide. Then there's this part of growing seeds. Growing seeds. Back when I was 13 or 14 in youth group, it's a pretty formidable time in life. I was influenced by my youth pastor to follow hard after Jesus. It wasn't legalistic. It wasn't a bunch of rules. He was influencing me to chase after God. And my heart was open to grow. My heart was open to love God. My heart was open to know Him more and to go deeper. You see, the way that we live our lives should tell others who we serve. The way we talk, what we watch, what we listen to, our finances, how we treat our family, how we treat strangers. No one's perfect. We're all going to mess up, but somehow, some way, we're striving to serve the Lord and to be an influence in this world. Growing seeds, influence. Let's pray together.